in our gospel reading this morning, Jesus has made his way back to his hometown. He is teaching in the synagogue. Imagine that, speaking to a crowd of people in the place where you spent your growing up years. The people who were your teachers, your coaches, your parents' friends gathered to listen to you. According to Mark, some in the crowd remarked on the wisdom Jesus was sharing, but not in a positive way, though. They are offended by Jesus. They are offended by what he is saying. Isn't he just a carpenter? His family all live right here. Who does he think he is? Now, Mark does not tell us what he said that was so upsetting to folks. In Luke's gospel, we are told that Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So is this the service that upset the crowd in our text today? It could be. When he delivers it in Luke's gospel, they are ready to kill him by the time he is done preaching. Everything about Jesus reading holy words and claiming them for his own life and ministry was troubling to those in the crowd, most especially to those who are invested in maintaining the status quo. By claiming Isaiah's words for himself and his ministry, Jesus is essentially saying to a significant number of people for whom things have not been good, "I am here to make them good." The poor, the imprisoned, disabled, the oppressed, we're finally hearing some encouraging news. He is offering them freedom, not in philosophical or abstract terms, but with practical and concrete implications. Freedom from not knowing if there would be enough to eat today. Freedom from being held captive and unable to work for one's family because of race, ethnicity, religious beliefs, or inability to pay a debt. Freedom from the humiliation of being different from most everyone else. Freedom from a political and economic system that made certain the basket of rocks that it was your lot to carry in life got heavier and not lighter. Hearing these ideas might have been good news for some people in the synagogue that day, but they likely were unwilling to admit it. They had been conditioned to keep quiet and bear their burdens with resolve and determination, never questioning whether an injustice was being done. Others in the crowd immediately recognized that Jesus' words were a threat to them and to the lifestyle to which they had grown accustomed. They were offended that Mary's son would presume to speak so to them, to call into question their devotion to God and their adherence to Scripture. To them, Mary's boy had said enough, too much in fact. No one in the congregation that day had any interest in hearing more. There would not be a second sermon. Jesus being rejected may be hard for us to imagine. We think of Jesus as the good guy. But some of the stuff he said was troubling to folks, especially to those folks who were in positions of religious and political leadership. And keeping all that in mind, I wanted to share with you what I think is very apropos to our scripture reading today, especially since today is the 4th of July. It's part of a speech delivered by Frederick Douglass on July 5th, 1852 in Rochester, New York, and his powerful words touched me greatly. It is entitled, The Meaning of July 4th for the Negro. Frederick Douglass, a free black man, was speaking to a room full of white people about one of their favorite national holidays. This could have been another story about an audience taking offense at the speaker, but remarkably, that is not the case. It has been reported that Mr. Douglass was given a standing ovation when he finished his speech. In his speech, Mr. Douglass made comments about life in America that sound disturbingly relevant to us 169 years later. Of course, before he spoke, he had no idea how receptive his audience would be to hearing this message. About the church, he said, but the church of this country is not only indifferent to the wrongs of the slave, it actually takes sides with the oppressors. It has made itself the bulwark of American slavery and the shield of American slave hunters. Many of its most eloquent divines, who stand as the very lights of the church, have shamelessly given the sanction of religion and the Bible to the whole slave system. They have taught that man may properly be a slave, that the relation of master and slave is ordained of God, that to send back an escaped bondman to his master is clearly the duty of all followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this horrible blasphemy is palmed off upon the world of Christianity. He continues and asks, what to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him more than all other days in the year, the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is a constant victim. To him, your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgivings, with all your religious parade and solemnity, are mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy. A thin veil to cover up crimes that would disgrace a nation of savages. There is not a nation on the earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than the people of the United States at this very hour. His powerful words ring true. So it's not hard to imagine Frederick Douglass answering that same question for us today in 2021, not about American slaves, but about people of color, women, LGBTQ brothers and sisters, migrant workers, refugees, prisoners, or children seeking asylum. Unfortunately, neither is it hard to see the ways that his words to the church then are sadly true in too many ways today. But unlike the audience Jesus spoke to, Frederick Douglass was praised for his words. There was certainly no praise for Jesus in his own hometown, as we heard before. He was amazed at the people's unbelief. He then went out himself to teach among the villages. And before he sends his disciples out to do their work of spreading the good news, Jesus is advising them, maybe with what happened to him in Nazareth at the back of his mind. First, he tells them to go out empty-handed. This meant that they were to be dependent on the hospitality of all the folks for whom they were speaking. Stay there until you leave, build a relationship, nurture interdependence, establish community and fellowship. If folks don't like what you are saying, then leave. Those words echo back to us as God is still speaking to us today, asking us to continue to spread the good news. Now, as much as any time in our history, the whole of our human community is in dire need of a message of hope, grace, love, acceptance, justice, and mercy. And we, my dear friends, can be the hands and feet of Jesus. Amen.